The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Good morning, Roxy Soxy.
Good morning, Tam Tam. How are you?
I am so much better now that you're in the presence of me in Nashville, Tennessee.
Who would not want to be there? I mean,
so it's... if you were like, hey, come to California, I'd be like, I'm not coming to California. And I was like, get your ass to Nashville. And you're like, okay. So I'm like, I feel like you want to get away from your family.
I wanted to do a little escape. I'm not going to lie.
I'm like,
Nashville kind of sounds like a fun little break. You know, I can get my Southern twang going
except
again.
Except you booked in fucking Franklin. Like, your hotel is so far away from me, like 45 minutes away. And last night, guys, she was like, oh, I just got to bed. It's 4 p.m. I'm going to stay here. I'm like, you're getting out.
See how much you missed me? You're like, well, I can tell too. I can tell in the tone of your voice. You're like, well, I wanted to see you, but if you're like too tired.
She flies into Nashville for 2 days and she's staying at the Hyatt in Franklin.
I mean,
and like doing what? So she ended up coming.
It's free breakfast, okay?
You booked free breakfast. And so you came, but you said that the Uber was a pickup truck.
I've had two Uber pickup trucks so far. I'm like, okay, I'm getting into the Southern thing.
You know, my husband wants to buy a pickup truck and we are officially... I'm officially out.
That's like, okay. You can jump in the back cab, honey. You can take the kids in the back, take the dog.
Just put them in the trunk.
Yeah, you good.
I don't know. I feel like if we have a truck, like I've really lost who I am.
Or have you gained
who you are? They're expensive, though. Do you know
they're
that?
Not
they're
cheap.
Like 100 and something. Yum. Some of them are like, he's like, I want this truck. I'm like, that's $83,000.
He wants
I'm
top
like,
of the
I'm
line.
I'm getting the Cartier bracelet way before your dumbass truck.
But a pickup truck is hours of fun.
Yeah.
I mean,
that
come
is
on.
True. Well, our next guest has just moved to Nashville.
Yes.
And she's like one of my favorite people. She was always my favorite person. And then slid into her DMs. And now she's my friend, even if she doesn't want to be. And I keep guilting her into being my friend. I'm like, well, I guess I'm just alone in Nashville. And like, I have no friends. She's like, I'll be your friend. It's fine. So who do we have on today, Roxy Soxy?
We have on today one of your favorite Nashville girls. And also...
who used to live in California.
Yeah, used to be a Californian. She's a California transplant. We were actually talking about that before this. Beautiful blonde Allie Mano. Welcome to the show.
Hi. Thanks for having me. Did you slide into my DMs or did I slide into your DMs?
We were doing some sliding.
It was just like mutual
sliding.
It was a slip and slide.
You know, I think it was that we, back in the day when like people used to do those giveaways.
Oh, yes.
That's what it was. And then like you were wondering about something and then you asked a few questions to some of us and I responded.
Okay.
And that's how the magic happened.
It's just a true love story from there.
It was love at first sight, you guys.
Or necessity because we don't know anyone else. It's like one of them.
Well, I feel like a place like Nashville, so many people move here and everybody honestly feels a little bit out of place.
Yes.
Because there's so many transplants here.
Right. Yeah.
So we just sort of bonded over that. And now here
we
are.
Do you feel like when people ask you, where are you from, you don't want to say California?
Yes and no. Like, yes.
Tell me the truth.
Because I think a lot of people feel like us Californians have like ruined Nashville, like in a way, because it's like it's changing so much and the prices have gone up and all the houses and all of that.
Yeah.
But like, I'm so proud. I mean, I'm not even from California.
I'm from Massachusetts.
Yeah. Right. But I lived in California for like 15 years. I feel like once you've lived somewhere a decade, like you can officially kind of say like
my kids were born there.
My kids were born there.
Exactly.
Both my kids. So yeah, I'm proud to be from California.
Yeah, I do love California.
But do you miss it? Do you miss the lifestyle of California?
There are so many things I miss, and then there are things that I don't miss.
Yeah.
I miss the events. Like in LA, there was always something to do. Like take my kids to like a fun little event that was being thrown or a rooftop bar event for a new brand. Or there was just always something going on. It's a lot slower pace here in Nashville, even though there's a lot of entertainment. But then, you know, like just, it's so congested. Like, yeah. I do love the space here. And, like, one thing that's actually really hard for me to wrap my head around is in Nashville, or in Nashville, if something's 15 minutes away, it's, like, 10 miles away or something,
yeah,
right?
I know.
Whereas in California, in LA at least, if
it's
something's
like
15
the
minutes,
block.
It's around the block.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, like, I'm trying to, like, grasp that new sense of distance.
What was, like, the final straw that made you want to move? Because I feel like we kind of, like, my husband and I kind of play with that, too. Like, we're like, should we move somewhere? Should we stay in L.A.?
Yes.
Well, two things. Cost of living. Okay. And I didn't want my daughter to grow up in Hollywood. She is an actress through and through. I mean, this girl is a performer.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, I just don't want her, like, exposed to that too early. I want her to grow up normal. And then if she wants to run off to Hollywood, she can, right? And then cost of living. Like, some people see, like, our home in Nashville, and they're just like, oh, my gosh. I'm like, when you had your first two homes in L.A., and you, like, it goes up after you have a home for a few years, the price jumped up so much. You save money, and then you come to a place like Nashville, which the prices have gone up quite a bit. Don't get me wrong. But
it's not even close.
It's not. It's like, you,
I mean,
can
it is.
A lot
maybe
more
it is
here.
Close. And maybe it's. I think in the beginning, like, I would go, you know, the Green Hills house, honeys, were like, they used to be $1 million, like, just under a million. Now they're like quadruple. You know what I mean? Like, four times that.
I got in at the right time, though. I got in, like, right
so
as
smart.
As it started peaking, right, and I was like, or started going up, and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm overpaying for my house.
Yeah.
And then now it's worth, like, I don't know,
so much.
30% more or something than we bought it a year ago. So it's like. You know, it's crazy.
Mm-hmm. I remember coming out of my kid's school, and there was like human feces on the floor. It was like this really great school. It was very expensive. And I just like, I was like, I think we're done. like we saw. And then we were living on Outpost, which was like the hills in the Hollywood Hills. And when we came down, this was like around the same time, we saw like a dead body. And they were covering up the dead body, like, trigger warning. I should probably put a trigger warning to this before I say this sentence. They were putting a homeless man in, like, a body bag. And
that's horrible.
We're just like, I think what we don't remember about California or LA, maybe you don't mean LA, is that for me, I didn't feel safe anymore. Mm. Like, I felt like there was an unhinged feeling that I don't feel like is here, that I didn't know at any second if I cut someone off on the freeway, if they could get out with a gun. I don't feel that here. I feel like if someone might honk once a week. Well, if Roxy's driving, they might honk every day.
You like my wee rides. You like my wee rides.
She calls them wee, like, wee! But I'm like, yes, I peed myself.
It's so funny because the cutting someone off in traffic and having a gun, I worry about that way more here than
do
I do
you?
In California. Because so everyone has a gun. Oh,
but they do in California, too.
No,
I really do think they do.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And yeah. I just
but,
feel like
the safety thing,
unhinged.
I'd be so curious if... That's because we're, like, moms and our kids are going out now. Like, I wonder if you asked, like, 22-year-old Tamman or Allie, like, would we feel the same way?
I feel like it got worse.
Yeah.
The pandemic, there was, like, whole streets of just – and it was so hard because they couldn't put the homeless anywhere because there was no place for them to go. So they just shipped them out and then moved them somewhere else. And there was just, like, whole, like, little mini cities of these tents lining the street. And I just – I would never, like, walking around West Hollywood, I wouldn't. I stayed in an Airbnb there last month, and I didn't walk around.
Yeah, it's very, very, like, I mean, they
even
have,
where you live.
Right, right. They have cleaned a lot of it up.
Yes.
But it sometimes feels like The Walking Dead when you're seeing, you know, these homeless people that are very strung out or have mental, you know, issues going on, like, just kind of dragging along the street. And it is kind of weird and surreal. And it is weird to have, because my daughter's 8 now, so she notices, you know,
for sure,
everything. So it's like, it's very hard, like, to kind of explain to her. But she, it was really interesting because I saw one of her and her friends playing, and I'm like, what's that game you guys are playing? And she's like, oh, it's called Homeless. We play Homeless.
Oh,
and we
goodness.
Each are like in a tent,
and we shit on the floor. Just kidding.
Yeah, exactly.
Sorry.
Shit on the floor.
She's like, I'm not coming back to this podcast. I was like, I'm out. This is not what
this
my people like to
weird,
listen
real
to
quick. But how crazy is that? That's like 20, you know, 2023 kids in LA, like, grew up playing a game called Homeless, you know?
That's really sad.
It's really sad.
It's interesting. One, before we wrap this up, one thing that I find really interesting about it, at least for me mentally, my house here in Nashville is exposed, right? Like, we have space, and we don't have a house right next to us on either side. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's, like, a scarier feeling than, like, in LA, where the houses were all right. Like, if something happened, I could literally be like, you know, Joe! And, like, my neighbor would be like, I'm there! You know, like, and I just sort of felt comfort and safe in that. Whereas here, I'm like,
anyone could be lurking outside. Like, even though I know it's so safe in Nashville. Like, it's so
it feels really safe here.
It is safe for sure. And we love it here now. Like, it definitely took me a minute to get there. I think when you move anywhere new, I think it's, you know, hard to adjust. But now that I found my people and my bearings and my kids are in schools, like, I'm like, okay, now I love it here.
What you're trying to say is once that you found me.
Exactly.
Like, you're like going to stay.
I was embarrassed to say it, but.
Because you like put on your Instagram recently, you said, you know, I have something to tell people. And I was like, don't leave. And you're like, no, I'm just talking about my kids' school. It's fine. But yeah, like you worry that, you know, it's funny. My therapist said to me, I have a new therapist. She said, you've always felt unsettled in my life because I've always moved.
Yeah.
I was born in South Africa, immigrated to Australia, left Australia, came to LA, moved from LA to Nashville. So I've never felt like I've been settled. Mm-hmm. So it's like really hard to find community when you're constantly moving, right? And you're always like wanting to like find something. But then I always fear, like even moving here, like, am I going to be here for very long? And then like, is it even worth having relationships with people? Do you feel that way? Or do you feel like this is kind of going to be your sort of forever home for at least however long?
I'm in. Like, I'm in 100%. Okay. So I, like, one of the things my friends always say to me is they're like, oh my gosh, you're so good at like doing stuff with people. Like, I am always doing something because I treat it sort of like a job.
Yeah.
Right. I make sure to reach out to people all the time or do different things. Like, I'm always just doing something. And that's because it's so important to me to like put my roots deep here because I really want to give it a chance. Like, I went back to LA for the first time a few months ago and I like cried the whole time I was there because I missed so much about it because I was there for so long and so much of my identity is wrapped up in Southern California and just California in general. And I want that here, but you're not going to feel that in a new place after a year. Like, I know so many people probably listening to this just out there, like, so many people moved during the pandemic. It was a big shifting time for so many people because people's lives changed so much and they realize I can work from anywhere, do anything. And I get so many messages from people saying, like, I'm lonely or how did you meet people? And I say the same thing to people, women who are single. Right. Like, how do I meet someone? I'm like, you need to treat it like a job. Mm. Like, these dates are sometimes painful. These friend dates, pointing to Tamman over here, sometimes painful. No, I'm just
kidding. Yeah, I asked her on my podcast, so she'd hang out with me again.
But you have to, like, even though it is uncomfortable hanging out with a new friend, uncomfortable going out on a date with a stranger, you have to do it if that's a priority in your life. So whether it's dating, dating friends, you just have to treat it like a job. And that's what I've done. And I'm really putting it all in because I want to stay here. Like, that is my goal. I want to stay here. And I do feel like I am getting there.
Okay.
But, like, my goal and hope is like to be able to like buy a condo in California or something. Yeah, like go back, like spend our summers there or something, you know?
Yeah.
Because summers are kind of brutal here, right? I mean, they're a little hot.
Oh, they're very hot.
Right?
Yeah. We moved here during summer. I was like, wait, what? I was like, because normally in summer you go out. Like summer, I was like, I can't go out. This is too hot.
Well, this summer you're just going to
do my hair
at my house.
I was like, my hair. So fuzzy here. I honestly would move back to California just because of my hair. I'm serious. I was thinking that the other day. I was like, screw this. I was like, F this. I was like, I want better hair. And I have to go back just that alone. Yeah, it's hot. It's hot as balls.
It is hot.
Yeah, it's hot. Yeah. But there is good upsides to it, too, I feel like. Cost of living, I mean, it's great, right? You can get so much more for your money. Gas, like, gas is, like, so freaking cheap here compared to California.
California's insane. Right?
Yeah. I also feel like here's a good, like, you get space. It's beautiful. I mean, the trees changing in the fall and blooming in the spring.
Seasons.
I mean, there are white and pink trees everywhere in Nashville in the spring.
Yeah. Right.
And so it is beautiful, and there are really great, kind people here. And, you know, there's a lot of different kinds of people here, too, which it's starting to diversify, which I think is really exciting, too.
Thanks to you guys coming in,
California! So I have so many questions, so we just got to get into it.
Okay,
so I have actually, do you know, I think I'm the only person who's never, this is why you know that I didn't hang out, like, want to hang out with you because of your fame, because I've never seen The Bachelor.
Ever. You never ever
I've
watched
I've never
an episode?
Seen one episode or The Bachelorette ever in my entire life. I keep saying Desperate Housewives. You can totally tell that.
Girl,
I have no idea. What's it called?
Where were you in 2003?
Housewives of,
hello?
What are they called? What is it called? The Desperate Housewives.
The Real Housewives.
The Real Housewives.
Yes, The Real Housewives.
I've seen Vanderpump Rules. Have you seen Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
Vanderpump.
But I know the concept, and I know that when you became the Bachelorette, there was like all these guys you could like date and make out with. That to me is like a dream. So can you just tell me how that process works?
Yes.
Because like the whole time I'm like, wait, I can kiss people and not get in trouble?
Yeah.
Like, and everyone's cool with it?
Yeah.
It was the worst.
Really?
Oh, no.
The absolute worst. All right, let me frame okay. it to you this way. Okay. It sounds like the dream, right?
Right.
And
yes.
sure, if you got to handpick 25 guys to make out with,
yeah.
it probably would be the dream, right?
Yeah.
You don't get to handpick those 25 guys. A group of producers and casting directors choose them for you.
Oh my goodness.
And if you are lucky, maybe you're interested in three. So think about this. Let's put it this way to you guys. Mm. If I put you and everybody listening, imagine this in your head right now.
Oh, okay.
If I put you in a room.
20 guys. I got you.
Okay. I'm there. There's usually 25, okay?
25? This is getting better.
And if you're actually really lucky,
this
they throw an
orgy
cam in. Oh my gosh. Where do I sign up?
But imagine I do that.
Okay.
6-7 of them are there for only entertainment. Like, they know you've no interest in those guys whatsoever, right?
Okay.
And then, so then, like, the other, you know, 18, let's say, are, like, maybe people they think you might like.
Okay.
If I put you in a room with 18 guys, what are the chances of you liking all those men? All of them.
Finding them
attractive.
Like a good 10.
Having
I mean, my bar is very low. I mean, like, at this point, I just will get what I can get.
Oh, see, I was
maybe
25.
Not at 20. At 25, I had high standards. Yes,
I was 25.
Okay.
I was like, I am marrying Mr. Perfect, and I had all these like checklists. Like he needs to be, you know.
Yeah,
you are.
Yeah.
You're. I feel like yes. As you get older, you're sort of like, okay,
right.
You know, can he like do the dishes?
Like, right.
I'll marry him. You know.
Yes. No. Is he nice to me?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like,
he's
is he not an asshole?
But I feel like, at least for me on the show, like, I knew night one, two guys I liked. And then after that, like, there was no one else. Like, for me, out of the 25 men, there was two that I liked. And the rest, they're not bad guys, great guys. But, like, no attraction whatsoever, no chemistry. So then what happens is you go on these dates with these guys, right? Mm. And if you don't show interest in them, they pick up on that. They one are like, you're not into me. Like, why am I here? Why am I wasting? It's a very emotional experience being on the show. Like, they strip you of all of your sort of crutches, right? Like, they strip you of any type of reading material unless it's religion based, like the Bible.
Yeah.
They strip you of all music, no magazines.
There was no
phone, no TV.
And that was before social media.
Yeah,
or was
it
before?
No, Instagram didn't exist.
Okay.
Instagram literally was launched, I think, the year I was The Bachelorette.
Okay.
Yeah.
But Facebook was around. I worked for Facebook at the time. I was a Facebook employee.
That's right.
And at one point, when I was on The Bachelor, at least, I had to go back to Facebook to work while I was still on the show. They, like, let me work remotely.
Oh.
So I was, like, working on Facebook. And they would, like, be over my shoulder. Or, like, my handler is what they call them that, like, watches you. Like, making sure I wasn't, like, telling anybody anything about the show.
Yeah.
It's different now. Now they let people be on social media and, like, do whatever.
Yeah.
It's a weird experience. I guess I'll just say
you
that.
You still haven't answered my question about, okay,
oh,
so if you
out.
Like two of them and do you have to kiss more? See, are the producers making you, because like if you just kiss two, it was not really a show, right? So are you then having, I mean, like, well, like we'd like you to be kissing more than, are they like pushing you into a direction?
Yes. So, So that, I was like, what was I talking about? I lost my train of thought. That's it. You pulled me back. Thank you. So if you don't make out with them, they'll say, well, if you don't kiss so-and-so, he's going to know you're not interested in him. And then he's going to leave you and he's going to leave you and he's going to leave you. And you're going to be the Bachelorette nobody wanted. They don't say it in that way, but in so many words,
it.
Like,
yeah.
you want them all to leave?
Yeah.
Like they really play on your, and it's funny because my producer on the show, her name's Cassie. I'm like super close with her to this day. Like I adore her now, but we would butt heads so hard on the show.
Yeah.
And now she like came to Nashville there to get together and she's like one of my favorite people ever.
Yeah, yeah.
But their job is to really play off your insecurities. Mm-hmm. And my biggest insecurity being the Bachelorette, because I still to this day think that I'm like the homeliest Bachelorette.
God.
So you think.
I know you're going to say that and it's fine.
No.
I know it's not true. I know it's true. But like all the other girls were just like, even when I'm around them now, they're just like beautiful and in like
petite and just, you know, dress really nice in heels. And like when I went on the show, I like didn't even own a pair of high heels. Like I was like graphic tees and Converse and, you know.
But that's what they wanted.
Yeah.
But that, and yeah. So I was just very uncomfortable. Like I was like, I don't deserve this role. Right. Like none of the guys are going to like me. Like I am going to be the bachelorette nobody wanted, you know. And I just, that, I felt that so strongly. So I was like, I will make out with everyone.
Yep.
Too. And I didn't. I actually probably made out with less people than most. I only made out with 18. But no.
There was 25.
I honestly think it was like 7. I mean, I think I actually did pretty well. But
7 though, still in a short period of time. Like I would date, I would date someone and then make out with someone else. And he would dump me.
Like, that's how it goes.
If I was attracted to all of them, believe me, I would have been in.
It's just such an interesting experience, like a social experiment. Like, it's just fascinating.
Wasn't. And to this day, people always say, like, what's your advice for the show? And I always say, how cool would it be if they switched it up one season and the bachelor or bachelorette was able to be a part of the casting process?
Yeah.
You know, like even if it's through like a one-way or two-way mirror or one-way mirror or whatever it is, where they could see like, okay, cast that one, not that one, that one. Like that would make for such a more interesting show because there would really be more of those torn feelings.
Yeah. Right.
When they're like sitting there being like, oh, this decision is so hard. I don't know who to send home. They made the list, you know, day one, and they can't wait to send those people home.
Right.
Like, it's really not that hard of a decision until you get to, like, the top three, maybe.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. So, like, you know, from an outsider looking in, you know, it seems like the whole show is, like, public. You know, like, you know, you're constantly on camera and you're seeing everything. But are there, like, true moments of like private time? Like if you really, let's say you liked, you know, what one guy or whatever.
If Roxy wanted, like, to strip someone.
I know. I'm like, would I be able to have some alone time with the man? Or is it literally just like the cameras are always there? Because I know like they show like a fantasy suite but it seems like the cameras are there rolling like the whole time.
The fantasy suite, they stay with you like up until a certain point and then they leave. So that's the first time you have alone time with somebody. The only bits of maybe a little bit of alone time that you have at all up until the fantasy suites are like if you're shooting a date for the day, the crew has to break down for lunch legally. So they can't shoot through the day. Everyone has to break down and stop. Yeah. And so I remember like being on a date and one of the guys who I did like, Roberto, he was like across, that we were all breaking down. I had to sit with my producer for lunch and he had to sit with the producers over there. Like they wouldn't want us to have any conversations off camera. But we would like try to, and I'd like try to sneak him notes or, well, you know, like to have those little moments, but like not, you don't really get much.
Oh,
is there anything you regretted about being on the show?
Yeah.
Like, would you do it again? If I wasn't married,
married.
No, like, would you do it again? Yes, back then,
absolutely.
Right. I mean, it gave me the life I have now.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't meet my husband on a reality show, but I did actually kind of is real. I did meet my husband on TV from opportunities from that show. So for that reason, of course, I wouldn't have my kids. I wouldn't have him.
Right.
Yeah.
But yes, I mean, it's such a cool experience. Would I do it now in 2023? I don't know. It is. One of the main questions I've gotten over the last 12 years since I was a bachelorette, it's been that long, is like, would I let my daughter do it? Or one day when you have a daughter before I had kids. And I always said, like, absolutely, no question. It changed my life. It was amazing. I learned so much about myself. And now I'm like, I can't tell her what to do. By the time she can be on the show, she's going to be able to make her own decisions. But I would strongly advise against it at this point.
Yeah.
Because social media is so cruel and people are so hard. And like, I know me as a 38-year-old woman, it's very difficult for me sometimes to read the comments that I get and not like beat myself up. So I'm like, I don't want my daughter to go through that. It was when I was a bachelorette, there was no like these crazy Reddit and all these things. Like there was like some forums, but it was like AOL chat room 369 where like people would talk bad about me. But like I would have to actively go seek that to find it. Whereas now it's just all in your face, you know?
Everywhere.
And I just, these poor kids, because really, I mean, you're so young when you're on the show. The mental health struggles that they face are just horrifying, I think. So I would not want her to do it at this point.
Yeah. I know, like, at the end of the show, Roberto, who you mentioned before, proposed to you, right? Yeah. And you guys dated for a
while. She watches the show. You
I know, I do. I'm, like, so fascinated.
Like, who's Roberto? Roberto was very hot.
Yeah, he was,
He was an attractive guy.
Really good-looking guy. Yeah. But I would imagine, like, when you break up with somebody, whether it be on the show or not, it's like a real breakup. You know, you don't really talk to each other like afterwards. Maybe you go like your separate ways. But is there ever a chance not to date again? But I mean, just to even be in communication with that person again? Or is it like one of those things where when the breakup happens, that's it? Like we're done.
I mean,
don't think it's like any other breakup. Yeah. I mean, it's harder to break up, I think, because think about it, right? In any relationship, it's really difficult to leave a relationship, right? Like, it's difficult until it becomes clear, right? Like, difficult, and then one day you're like, it's clear, I'm done.
Right. Yes.
So imagine that, but then imagine that with like millions of people also being invested in your relationship. Yeah. That makes it like even harder, right? Mm. Especially when they watch that relationship come to fruition and all, you know, it's a lot. So that made it, we both stayed in that relationship way longer than we should have. We were together for a year and a half and like we should have been out 3 months in.
Yeah.
I mean, throughout the years, like he's texted, I've texted here and there, like when big life events have happened, like the birth of my kids or, you know, like random things like, or he, I think 2 years ago, like text me happy birthday or something, you know, but like, we're not in touch.
It's like, exactly. Yeah. It's like here and there.
Yeah. But I have nothing but like, good things to think about him. We were just wrong people.
Yeah.
Not meant to be. Totally great people with other people.
Totally.
I think when I think about you though, and like what you've done and all the things that you've achieved, like I don't ever see anyone talk badly about you. Like,
what?
Ever. Like, I've never heard, like, I've been in this business for 20 something years, and you normally hear rumblings about people, and it's like, and I never hear anything bad. So even to like write on your social media something negative, I don't understand what you could ever do, because unless you've got some really dark shit that I don't know about, but like, there's nothing that you ever do wrong.
You're perfect.
But like, well, one, I am so shocked to hear that. And honestly, that's not because I don't think people
so good.
I just think my
she's like, and she doesn't, and the podcast's over. She's like, I don't know what to say. This goodbye.
But no, like, you don't ever do anything wrong.
It's
like, you're perfect.
I'm not. Oh my gosh. No,
like,
I am not.
When I watch your stories, I'm like, ugh.
Really?
That story's perfect too. But like, are you perfect?
No.
So what's
wrong
about you?
I think everyone hates me.
No.
Like, what is wrong about you?
Nothing.
Yes. So many things are wrong with me.
Please.
And one of my biggest. Feel better. One of my biggest. I guess let me start here. When I was the Bachelorette, I was young and selfish, and everyone wanted a piece of me, right? Like, in the producers throw you under the bus. You have these like walls up that are like so intense. Yeah. And so then when I went on after and like did different work in the industry, right? Like, I worked for E! News and I worked for, you know, I had a travel show and things. I was a bit of a not great to work with. Because before E! News, for example, I had like this sort of like, first one, I was thrown into the spotlight for The Bachelorette. I went from like, literally, and didn't even wear makeup, never wore or owned a pair of heels in my life, to like thrown on the cover of every magazine possible. I mean, it is such a jarring experience. Mm-hmm. Paparazzi, I remember the first time I got attacked by paparazzi, is the best way to put it. A salon had offered me a free color for my hair. I couldn't believe it. I was they're going to do my hair for free. This is huge. Oh my gosh. I get out of the car, and of course, I didn't know this because I wasn't in the world. The salon had called all the paparazzi to like get all the photos of me going into the salon, getting my video of me getting the hair done in the salon. And I got out of the car, and 20 photographers surrounded me. And I remember just like, I was shaking so bad. I couldn't. I had a suitcase with me. I couldn't even get it out of the car because my body was shaking so much.
Wow.
So anyway, imagine that. You're thrown into all this stuff. So then you kind of are like, all right, I am the shit. Like, like, oh my gosh. Like, I remember one point one paparazzi told me, your photo is worth more than any A-list celebrity out right now, when The Bachelorette's going on. So this was back 12 years ago. Imagine now. Like, it's just crazy. So anyway, after that, then you go, I worked, you know, for a travel show, which I was fine with that. But then, and I was kind of like, oh, okay.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no, keep going.
It's going to be really quick.
Yeah. Pick it up, a travel show.
Travel show, okay. Don't lose it. Don't lose it. This didn't happen the last guest. I keep telling you that. You're breaking the camera.
Well, the good thing is, working in television, you're used to stops like this. And you're like,
right,
it's
exactly.
Before you go. It's like,
I know, they're like, you're in the middle of a crying scene. They're like, and sorry, the boom's in the shot. And you're like, I'm still sobbing. Can you wait till I've taken a sniff?
You're like, can't stop now.
Yeah. I'm like, still snobbing. Snobbing. Snobbing? Snotting and sobbing.
Snotting.
I miss those days. I haven't been on a set for 3 months. 2 months.
2 months.
It'll be fine. It'll be fine. It will be fine.
It will be fine. It will come again.
It will come again. I actually feel no stress.
That's That's good.
I really don't. Everyone's stressed about the economy. I'm like, meh.
Yeah, see?
I don't know why.
Like, what can you do about it?
I can't do anything about it.
You can't do anything about it.
Yeah, okay. I can just be me. Okay.
So I did this travel show, went on E! News, and I kind of felt like I was like, you know, my career was starting and like all this stuff was happening. And then... with being Roxy, right. You worked red carpets. Right. It's a tough job. Like, people don't realize. They look on the inside out, from the outside in, rather, and they're like, oh gosh, she gets to wear dresses and heels and get her makeup done, all this stuff. Like, no. Like, you get your, you sit in a makeup chair forever, every single day, getting all that done, which is my worst nightmare. Yeah. I hate that stuff.
Yeah.
Your hair's falling out because of all the hot irons in it. Then you're wearing heels all day that hurt. You're sitting on red carpets for 3, 4, 5 hours to get one sentence from a celebrity. Like, that really, really did a number on me. So I hated that job, honestly. Like, it was really tough for me. And I don't think they liked me very much because of that. So I kind of had this feeling of, like, ever since then, like, you know, I ruined my, you know, I burned bridges or something when I worked in Hollywood because that wasn't for me type of deal. And then for me, like, I constantly don't think people like me. Like, that is
where does that come from?
I don't.
Armchair psychologist.
I think maybe a little bit of social media. Right. I constantly think like, oh, you said that and that's stupid. Or you're talking about like that you have no reason to even talk about that. Or like, I'm just always, you probably do this too. I feel like every social, like,
influencer. Yeah, but mine started like, I had your, you know, when you said you were on the cover of all the magazines, it was, I had it at 15.
Yeah.
So I feel like it's not a worse experience, but I feel like I was very malleable. At 25, your frontal lobe at least has developed a little more than when you're 15. So I just never felt like I was perfect enough. So I guess what you're saying, but I've never been like, I felt like the shit. I've never felt like this shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've never felt like that. But I get what you're saying. Like, I never, and at my job, like, I just, the problem is my numbers to me equate to my value. And that's really bullshit because I can't control that. And it's also, it's just so random, right? And sometimes the posts that I think are the most vulnerable and like open sometimes don't do the best. And then you're right. Then I think that people don't care. But why do I even care what they, random Margaret from Mississippi, like, what? No one from Mississippi calls me. Like, Margaret from Nashville. Who would be called Margaret? Come on, Stacy from Nashville, with her two kids. Like, why do I even care? I've never met her. Why do we care?
I think we care, one, because it's our job, part of our jobs. I think we also care because you think that if, you know, Stacy from Nashville doesn't like me, something must be wrong with me. Like, I like, why wouldn't they like me? Well, I want to be the best that I can be, or like, I want, like, I think, I just always think like, okay, I'm not good enough. And then as like, you know, people often ask, and anyone who's listening might be curious, I don't know if you've talked about this on the podcast before, but, you know, a lot of people like to say to me, what is your job? And I'm like, are you seriously asking that question or do you not know? And I realize some people truly just don't understand the world of influencing and like what kind of job it is.
And
like,
it's not work. It's so much work.
So much work. And it's so much stress because your success is like, you see the numbers every single day. And it's like, oh, okay. Like, it's not like, it's people didn't like your photo. Poor you. It's like, well, no, because people didn't like my photo. I'm not, it affects like the next brand deal I'm going to get or what's going to happen. And it's not as easy as like, ooh, look at me, I like Starbucks coffee, buy Starbucks coffee, blah 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 blah. It's like, or I should use my own, I should say 1-3 Life, which is my hydration company, buy this, blah
good
blah
plug,
blah
good plug,
good plug.
But like, it's not as simple as that. Like, when I do my, you know, blog posts, I spend hours finding the clothes, buying the clothes, taking photos of the clothes, making videos, making the content for Instagram, for my blog. Like, that is so much work. Zooms, getting these brand deals, negotiating them, all the other content. So if you're if your channel is 20% commercials, what they call it, it's the same rule of TV. It's got to be 80% entertainment. So then, like, your life, creating, you're sharing content, your life in that content, that is... some of it's fun and you're just sharing fun things you do, but a lot of times, like, you actually have to think like, okay, like, why is my life interesting today? Why can I what can I talk to my followers about that isn't so selfish that also can help them? Like, this is something I wake up every morning and I'm like, my eyes open and I'm like, ding, what can I do for my followers
today? First thing I think
about. And it's like heart palpitation, like, I'm like, my heart starts beating so fast. It's a stressful job. It's an amazing job. It is a wonderful job. Like the fact that, you know, we can make a living this way and be home and be with our children. I am so, so, so grateful for that. But, you know, you see people like memes where they say, like, I quit my 9 to 5 to work for myself and now I work 24/7.
Right.
That's what it is to be a social media influencer. You are working 24/7. You are always on. If you don't post an Instagram story, at least for me, I'm like, oh, an hour has gone by and I haven't posted an Instagram story. Like, I've got to post something. Like, and I'm never able to just disconnect. My friends sometimes will be like, Allie, just, and I'm getting better at it. Yeah. Like, I'm definitely
We went for a walk.
Yeah, we didn't
get on social. It was like 45 minutes. We weren't on social.
We both did afterwards, though, and so we just went for a walk.
Just in case you were wondering.
I got a comment once, and it really rubbed me the wrong way, and I was going to talk about it on my Instagram, but I was like, I'm just going to leave it. And she said, can you please stop posting ads? Mm-hmm. And I thought, okay. But then you don't get to see all of this for free, because where do you think this time, like, where is this time? Mm-hmm. And the sad thing is, because I would do it for free, but I wouldn't probably do it as much, and I probably wouldn't do it as in depth, and I probably wouldn't be finding links and giving tips and tricks. I'd probably just share every now and then. Like, I have a friend who shares like once a week. Great. But when you're doing it as much as we are, like, do they really think that you are giving up your entire life when you're not with your kids sometimes? You're like, the other day I had to be on my phone rather than be with my kid because I had to produce something for content. And you're right, like, they don't really understand the concept. Do they really think that I'm just doing this just for fun?
No, you're totally right. And the thing is, what I always say too with like the ads, like, at the end of the day, the ads are usually getting you a discount. And if you're if you're following somebody who you've bought maybe not one product, because everyone, things can work different for different people, but like maybe a couple products that you've bought and you're like, this is junk. Or like they're promoting something that you're like, there's no way they use this product. Like, then make your decision about that. But at the end of the day, like, I'm sure in great skincare discounts and like makeup discounts and
a
like
meal service, $6 per organic
meal. That looked good.
I'm actually gonna make up another email so I can get the discount, because it's such a good discount. I actually ordered those meals way before I even got, so I think I was just putting it out there and they saw that I was already using it organically. But $6 meals organic to your door,
right?
I mean,
but do you think you always follow your, like, your heart or like what you're really interested in if the check is big enough? I mean, if it's like a big check coming, like a good big deal, I mean, would that sway you? Maybe it's like a product that you didn't necessarily use, or you didn't really necessarily want to use. But
the only time I have done that was 10 years ago when this all first started, and I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm getting money to talk about something. Like, I couldn't believe it. It was for like a flat tummy tea or something.
I did that we too, all did right that. In the beginning.
I was like, you can poop your brains out. I was like, so
they
irresponsible.
They were like the first brand that like hit up like all, like, I feel like they were like,
and they would
everyone.
Do, they would do like 5 posts for X amount, you know? And
they
be like,
have hit me up so many times since then. And I said, no. And I've turned down big, like, life-changing money deals. One in particular was a weight loss pill that I saw another person that I know do. And it was, no joke, I'll just say it, it was $500,000.
You can give that to me.
Just for everyone listening, that is not normal money.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes, so doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
That is like, it was life changing money. And I was like, I would not, if this is not something I would feel comfortable recommending to my friend, I'm not recommending it to my followers. So I turned it down. It was one of the toughest decisions I ever had to make because, again, it would have been life changing money. And I was just like, I can't do this. So, no, and the thing is, like, someone said to me the other day, I hope everyone finds this interesting. I think influencers, the world is interesting.
I think social, I was actually thinking people, as you were talking, I was like, I think people are really going to love this podcast because it's like social media is very interesting to people. They don't know behind the scenes.
Yeah. They don't know what goes into like producing all of this, you know?
It's a lot. But, you know, someone the other day said to me, like, you promote a lot of, and this was actually a kind way she asked it, a lot of like skincare and beauty products. Like, what ones do you actually like? And I was like, I would be interested to go into anyone's bathroom and see if there's one brand.
Right.
Like, does anyone have one brand of anything in their skincare or makeup bag? I don't think so. Like, so I did a post and I shared, like, okay, this is all the different makeup brands I'm wearing today. I mostly wear the same brand, but like, here are some of the other ones of other things that I like too. And then same with skincare. I'm like, I use this. Like, I'm realizing people want to see, like, the other stuff you use too. But yes, if I'm doing an ad for Dime, I can't talk about Strivectin in that same sentence because it's you're doing a sponsored post for them. But, you know, I try to talk about those other things in between too. Mm-hmm. But
I really like the products that I promote. I really like all of them, you know?
Yeah.
And but back in the day when you're talking about bad deals, like years and years ago, I remember I got a deal for like $2,000, which is the most amount of like long time ago when first started, like $2,500. I was like, oh my God, $2,500. This was like, I think the first year that it all started. And it was for, oh my God, I can't even believe what I'm saying. You put these things on your mouth and you suck and it makes your lips bigger. But like it like swells your lips up, and so my Instagram post was like this like thing covering my top lip, and it looked really big and the bottom one looked small, and I did a selfie and I was like, as I posted, I was like, who am I, what have I become? I was like 27 or 28 or whatever it was, and I was like, this was my first ever one, and I was like, I never now.
Yeah, I mean, that is so
unless
funny.
It was $500.
You're like, I would do the lip filler for like
very
half a
little
million.
That I wouldn't do for $500,000.
And I think also it's hard to on Instagram to organically grow like it once was back in the day.
I lose followers every day. And people also will message me like, don't you think people don't like you because you're losing followers? And I'm like, no, it's because of those giveaways that everybody did like a couple years ago. Like I basically lost those people, which is makes sense. Like, and so that's another reason I beat myself up. I'm like, people aren't following me. They must
I don't
not
even
like
look
me.
Anymore because you can, for me, it's like 1.3. I don't know if it's 1.3. and 65,000 or 1.3 and 33,000, but I didn't look, and then I looked, and I'm losing every day too. TikTok seems to be the platform that that really promotes exponential growth. And so I always say to people, you have to diversify. Like, if you're going to be in social media, you can't just have one platform. Like, you got to. And also, like, because I get these questions all the time, like, oh, I want to do this. Like, where should I start? And I'm like, just start. Like, just start, and don't be, because for me, like, when I was saying, like, you seem so good, I feel like the word is you seem so authentic, whether you are or not. When I watch you, I feel like you're being authentic. I feel like for me, I haven't been lately. I'm kind of just like not being true to myself. I have filters on, and that's just because I don't like what I look like that close up on a camera. Like, I don't want to film my face all the time, you know, and I know it's my job, but I don't want to. But when you, and I was saying this to Megan, when someone doesn't have a filter on, you actually trust them more. Like, you know, when someone's selling an ad with a filter and without a filter, I definitely trust the people who don't have a filter.
I mean,
and
we're all swiping for Paris, right? I mean, everybody has that filter on.
Like, I can't even look at myself without Paris. No, I mean, like, you still have features. Like, you still have your same features, you know? But it's not like you've changed your lips or your nose or your thing, whatever it is.
Right, right. I think everyone, whether you have a million followers or one follower, feels like a phony on social media. Like, everyone's like, I'm not being myself, because you can't show your whole life, you know? And then you're like I saw something the other day where somebody said, let's normalize, or let's ban, or I don't know what the word was, some probably hip word I don't understand, but something about banning,
cancel.
Like crying. let me cancel crying on in social media. Like saying, like, I'm over it. Like, don't pick up your phone when you're in tears, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, okay. And then someone else is like, I'm sick of seeing people show their perfect lives all the time and how perfect they are. Like, we want to see the struggles. And then I post a struggle and then I get a DM from somebody saying like, boo hoo, and you in your rich house and you're going to cry.
That's
because
a them problem.
Like, yeah. But do you see what I mean? Like, yeah. I feel like on social media, especially if you have a deep desire for people please, right. which I definitely do. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us do. Most of us do. Mm-hmm. No, everyone wants to be loved and liked. That's right. human nature, right? Mm-hmm. But I think on social media, like, you kind of can never feel like you're being your real authentic self because what is that on social media, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's right. not like a, it's not the Truman Show. There's not a right. camera on you 24/7 to show all the ins and out. But then, like, what if you are having a moment where you're crying? Is that disingenuous because you pick up your phone and you record it? Or right. are you trying mm-hmm. to show the real you? It's just, you can't win. Yeah, you know, so I think everybody struggles with what you struggle with, whether you have, again, like I said, millions of followers right. or one. Like, it's just like, you're sort of like, who am I? What am I showing on here? Is this me?
Well, you can be like the sweet. This is what my grandmother used to say. My Texas grandmother.
I love your grandma.
She's like, you can be the sweetest peach in the basket and somebody is not going to like you.
Yeah.
And it's kind of true, right? It's like, so I think for me too, like, and I think this too is like just coming with, like, you know, getting older and all that, I'm starting to give a little less fucks.
Yeah.
A little less fucks every day. I'm like, you know what? You can't make them all happy because they're all, somebody is going to have some opinion and they've had a bad day and they just want to get in there and, like, fuck with you, basically, you know? And it's like, it's kind of like, you know, you just kind of, I don't know. It's sometimes it's easier for me to just be like,
I think that comes, it definitely comes with age.
It's hard. Yeah, I think so too. I think it does.
I think I care less about my, I want to do more about my appearance, but care less about it. If that makes, like, I know that sounds like it cancels each other out, but, like, I'm not afraid to, like, maybe it's, I've never had Botox, maybe do that, but I'm also okay with the fact that my stomach is probably never going to be the same, you know, because I love my kids, and I think you just start to just let go a little more.
Right.
You know, the crying on social media, though, is interesting because I've only done it, like, twice. And it does feel strange to take a picture of yourself crying. But then I thought to myself as I was driving home, like last week, because I saw someone else crying on social media. And my first instinct was like, ugh. But I was like, oh, my goodness, isn't it just an – so sadness is an emotion as happiness is. Mm-hmm. But why are we celebrating happiness but not sadness? Why like, my husband doesn't cry. He really doesn't cry because he's been taught that crying is weak or you shouldn't be vulnerable or you're not like a man, whatever it is. It's just a version of this spectrum of emotion. So like, what does it matter, crying, laughing, joke? Like, there's so many different types. Like, we need to see all of it. Like, what's, like,
normalize
if you take a picture smiling and you take a picture crying? Isn't that the same thing? Because what, you're showing your real pain and other people feel uncomfortable because they've been taught that they shouldn't, being vulnerable is a negative thing?
Yeah.
You know? I don't know.
No, I hear you.
Mm-hmm. So my boobs are the next one on.
My crying, like, yes, girl.
I'm crying because of my boobs.
Yeah. Boobs, I know. They just keep falling. I mean, the lift is coming sometime soon. But I wanted to swing back a little bit because we were talking a little bit about this before. And during the chat, you mentioned, obviously, we both worked on the red carpet before, right? The red carpet. So, yeah, I think, too, that's another example of people see the outcome, right? They see, like, everybody dressed up and, like, celebrities coming down and the flashes of cameras. But they don't know what really goes on inside, you know, or behind the scenes. And it's like you're standing out there waiting for 3, 4, 5 hours sometimes, waiting for people to come. And then they're in a bad mood. And
they treat you like garbage. And you cry afterwards.
Yes.
And you're worried you're going to lose your job.
I'm sorry. Yes. The right interview question.
Yes. And it really gets, like, a lot of time. I mean, I love, obviously, you love when things go well. But then, like, when people are not so nice or not so kind to you, when you're just trying to do your job, it really has affected, you know, my self-esteem at times. Because I'm like, oh, my God, maybe I suck. Maybe I'm not good at this. Maybe this is not, you know, what I'm supposed to do. So, like, what was your experience like on the red carpet? Like, did you have certain people that kind of bummed you out? Or was it?
You know? How did you know that, Roxy?
You know. I took a wild gander.
So one thing, I want to give a shout out to Kelty Knight right now. I don't know if you guys know Kelty, but she's with, actually, E! Now. She's at E! News now, but she's worked in the industry forever. She is one of the hardest working people. And you wouldn't know because you watch her Instagram and she gets to put on these beautiful outfits every day and interview celebrities. And she's in Hollywood and it looks so glamorous. What I see when I look at Kelty's Instagram is one of the hardest working women in Hollywood. She has earned everything that has come to her. So I just had to give that shout out to her. I always think of her when I think about this, because I remember being standing next to her on red carpets, like, and she's still there. I'm like, how are you still there? But yeah, people kind of look at it and they think like it's this glamorous job. And it was my, honestly, I think my least favorite job I've ever had. I mean, that's a nice way of saying I hated it. Least favorite.
I'm going to use that from now on.
Right, right.
It's my least
favorite. This is my least favorite conversation I'm having right now.
Instead of my worst.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was, and I love E. I mean, it's I love reading their articles. I love watching. Like, it was just not for me, you know? Like, and I respect what they do, and I respect, you know, because I know how hard it is. So, like I said, Keltia E right now, so much respect. Yeah. Love what you're doing. But for me, it really ate away at my self-confidence. I remember, you know, being on red carpets. Like, for example, sorry, Jake Gyllenhaal. I'm going to Taylor Swift you right now. But it was my very first red carpet. And I've never talked about, like, celebrities that were mean to me before, because I always thought, like, oh, I shouldn't. Like, what if they just had a bad day? But, like, come on. If Taylor's going to write a whole song about it, it's got to be true. It was my first red carpet. And the funny juxtaposition is I had just walked the very same red carpet the week before, because I was in a Woody Allen film.
That was my first question to you, by the way.
Oh, that's so funny. Blue Jasmine, like,
a lot of people don't know
Jasmine. Yes.
Yeah. So
do you have acting dreams?
My only acting job, and probably only one I ever will have, because, like, once you're in a Woody Allen film, like, where do you really go from there, right?
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett and Alec Baldwin. Like, how do you do? That was my scene. But anyway, I just walked that red carpet the week before. So I went from walking the red carpet, and, like, I'd walked so many red carpets because of The Bachelorette, right? And done countless interviews. And I know how easy it is to be nice, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people used to ask me things like, who'd you screw last week? You know? And I'd be like,
well.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you for asking. I declined the question. This is my least favorite interview.
I would like laugh and be like, haha, wouldn't you like to know? Or like, something should be remain quiet. Or like, you know, it's so easy to be nice.
Right.
It's so easy, especially if a crazy question is asked, right? Jake Gyllenhaal shows up the red carpet. Again, my first red carpet for E! News. I'm like, I'm going to kill it. I'm going to be so good. Like, I have to prove my, I practiced, I rehearsed all my questions. I was so ready to go. He walks up. I'm shaking in my heels, which I'm horrible in heels. And I say to him, hi, Jake. Who'd you bring tonight? Like, who'd you bring tonight? Like, for a date. Like, who's your date tonight? Or who'd you bring tonight? He goes, bye-bye, and walks away from me. And I was like, and I looked back at, like, the camera, my producer, and I started crying, because I was like, oh my gosh, this is my first red carpet. I'm going to lose my job because I didn't get any of the questions. He's the star of the film. Then he goes next to me. I won't say who the interviewer was. There was an interviewer next to me. And her question to him was, so if you don't get an Oscar for this film, like, those tattoos totally should, because he had, like, was all tatted up for this film. He goes, bye, and walked away. Because he is a serious actor, and these personal questions. For my question, he could have just been like, my mom.
Right.
Or like, when did you like to know? Or nobody. Or like, next question. Like, anything else. Like, and so anyway, it's very tough, because there's some people that are so excited. Oh my God, Tom Hanks, nicest guy ever. Like, want him to be my, like,
Keanu Reeves is amazing.
There's some people, like these big stars, who are just the kindest people. Mm-hmm. And then others that kind of just, like, there was multiple times I left interviews just in tears, because one, I was afraid I was going to lose my job. Or I waited on a carpet for 3 hours and a publicist came up and was like, one question. And then, like, you're not getting any of the things you need, and you put your heart into it. And you're the best way I can describe that job for me, it, like, just ate away at my soul. And I always say, like, when I started that job, I was this bright flame, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I came off The Bachelorette. I just had a travel show. I was like, making my way in Hollywood and having jobs. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I never expected that for my life.
Right.
And then every carpet I did, and every, like, celebrity, like, interview that made me cry, like, I was just like, that flame just, like, dimmed and dimmed and dimmed and dimmed until, like, when I was finally done, it was just, like, out. Like, I just, like, I left that, like, so defeated. Uh-huh. And so, like, the people who have done it and done it for years, like, strongest people out there, I have all the respect for them in the world, because it can be so grueling. I mean,
it is. Yeah, it's grueling. It's But then when you do have like the bright moments or the ones where it's like a back and forth that you really enjoy, it feels, it's such a high too. You know, I mean, you get like such a good feeling from it.
Oh, Kris Jenner. Love that woman. Right. She is the kindest, nicest human being.
She knows what she's doing.
She's so smart. Mm-hmm. She's so nice. Kris Jenner, all those, all the Kardashians, all of them. Kim, they're so kind. I would leave those interviews like, gosh, but like they're so nice, and reality stars in general are so nice, right? Like reality stars, like their job is to make headlines, right? And like to get the next season of Real Housewives or to continue the Keeping Up with the Kardashians or whatever it means. So they want to give you the goods. So it's like really easy to ask any questions to them, right? But the actors are hit or miss. Some are amazing. Oh yeah, sorry, Tim.
Damn it!
So who are you an asshole to?
Exactly. I've never been an asshole because I've never been an asshole to anyone ever except one girl when like I was on the toilet and she asked for an autograph and I'm like I was just like a little and then one other so many times. Then another time my kid was having a full meltdown like and then she was asking for an autograph. I wasn't rude, but I was like, I'm sorry, I just can't right now. That's like no, you know, my kid's having but
and she might like think like, oh, she was so mean, but you're like, I'm so sorry.
It's literally the only time that I've ever said that.
And I think there's a difference between people in their like real lives, not on a red carpet.
Yeah, they're meant to
and
be.
And people who are on the red carpet. Like if you're coming onto a red carpet as an entertainer, as a star of a show or what have you, you know, you're coming there for a job. It's not like you're just coming. You kind of decide if you want to say something. Like you're there to do a job, just like we're there to do a job. And it's like, it's a give and take. Yeah. It's like everyone's there to do your job. So if you're on a red carpet, you're in a public place, you are getting photographed, you're going to get asked questions, you know, like be prepared. But I will say, like, just a second, what you were saying about the Kardashians, they are some of the most professional, well prepared.
They like, and they think they love it.
They know what they're doing. Exactly. And they know what we need as, you know, reporters and everything, and they give it to you because they get it. And that, I think that that is also part of like the magic of the you know, the Kardashians. Like they have a good reputation for that kind of stuff, you know?
I will say if I have one wish for myself, right, of like who I want to be or what I want to be like, right, it's to be more like Kris Jenner. And here's why. It has nothing to do with her money or fame or business ethics. It is all about the way she makes other people feel. Like I believe that the greatest gift you can have is the ability to make other people feel good, right? Like, and she has this ability. Like, she would walk into, she'd come and guest host E! News all the time, still does, I'm sure, or at least when I was there, she did all the time. And she would come in, she would remember everybody's name. Like, I can't do that at all, right? Like, she has amazing memory. She would remember conversations she had with, like, and she remembers, she'd be like, Ellie, you told me about that thing you did last week. How'd that go? Like, I was nobody to her. Like, in same with, like, not even just to me, to the camera, audio, whoever. Like, she just has this ability to make you feel seen, make you feel special. Like, I wish that for myself and try to attain that in every aspect of my life because I just admire that about her.
And you want
so
to invest.
Much.
That's probably why they've made so much money. You want to invest in that, right? Because you feel you feel good, so you want to invest in that business. But it's interesting when you're talking about like people who are rude, because imagine being on film sets with very famous people, because I've been on film sets with very like A-list people, and they're assholes and everyone else thinks that they're amazing, and you have to be on the red carpet and they go, how's it like working with blah blah blah, and you're like, great. It was such a wonderful experience. You know, like that person is such a bitch, like such a bitch. The things that I have witnessed, I could write a book about it.
You should.
Oh my gosh. But there's just a lot of people that I've worked with.
I have an idea of who you're talking about. But
then I felt like, I thought why, I get frustrated because I feel like people should be successful based on talent and how nice they are. Like if you're talented and nice, you should go far. If you're not talented and you're not nice, the buck should stop at some point.
I think the issue is like, for example, Justin Bieber, I'm just going to use him as an example, right? Like he gets, you know, obviously he has amazing fans and everything like that, but then he also gets a lot of flack for like some of his behavior in the past or things he's said. The issue with someone like Justin, or like the scenario with someone like Justin Bieber in my mind is like when you're that famous and when you got that famous very young, right? And you probably had some of this early on in your career too. you can't do wrong, right? Mm. Like, so think about it. From how old was he when he was discovered? 12?
Young.
Like, on YouTube or something? Like, everyone, when you reach that fame so young, everybody is telling you, you're right, you're right, you're right. This guy's purple. Like, he'll say, this guy's purple. Everyone be like, you're right, it is purple. Yeah. I can't believe I said it was blue.
Yeah.
And you're so used to it. And then hopefully you have a couple people to keep you grounded. But even those people, even your parents, even... there's something to be made to be keeping you happy, right? Like, I do it sometimes with my daughter. Like, if we have to film something together, my daughter, I pay her if she helps me with anything I do for work. Like, oh, believe me, she'll show you. You come to my house, she's got her piggy bank full. She'll show you. But if she kind of throws a little bit of fit when we're about to work, I kind of, like, let it go a little bit because we need to get something done. Right. Same Justin Bieber when he's younger. His parents might have wanted to be like, you're getting out of here, but he has to film a multi-million-dollar music video. So they're like, you're fine, you're good, you're amazing.
Yeah. Right.
So imagine that even your parents kind of, you know, placating you, right? Yeah. And then everyone telling you right. So you grow up, you're doing that young. When you're in your 20s and your 30s, everything's right. So when someone tells you something you do isn't right, it's like Justin's thinking, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
Like, everyone for 20 years has told me this is okay. And you're now telling me, even though that other person's probably totally right, being one of the first ones to call them out, you're so conditioned to believe it's not Justin's fault.
Right.
I guess is what I'm trying to say. Right. So if like these stories do come out where like a celebrity like acts a certain way, like sometimes it's not their fault.
Right.
You know, like it's, it's like that's
when the conditioning.
If like, everyone's telling you no, I hate no. Like no makes me really, like I actually have a visceral reaction when someone says no to me because when I was 15, on the TV show, everyone said yes for so long, and like I was with Richard Branson going to London for the weekend, and my life was insane, and everyone was just saying yes, 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 yes. So like even when it says no parking, I'm like, no parking. I'm like, no parking. Like this is a parking space. So I have a really big problem with no, and so when it says no parking, I'm like, does that really mean no parking?
Yes, I have learned with you the technique of not saying directly no, but having another.
I feel like you do that with me.
I do.
Yeah, because my mom used to say like, oh, you bully us into saying yes. Like, you bully us. And I was like, well, I don't want to be a bully. But I feel like you never say no, but you say no, but you don't say no. And it really bugs the crap out of me.
Trick.
She goes, I go, can you come over? She's like, yeah, that sounds good, right? And I'm like, so are you coming or are you not? She's like, yeah, that's cool, yeah. And I'm like, I don't know what's happening right now. Yeah, when my husband says no, I have like a visceral response. Like my spidey tingles. Like I just don't like authority either. Mm. Like no's not my friend.
You do.
I always feel like there's a way to figure it out. No,
and part of that could honestly be residual from your childhood stardom of like from a young age, like people wanting to give you what you want because you're the star of the show. If Tamman's not happy and you're 15, when I was 15, I was crying and screaming and doing all these. Like I was a wreck emotionally when I was 15. So to have all that fame at that young of an age, like there has got to be, like it's amazing you made it out of that, like in as who you are today, because
there's some problems, but.
No, but Tammy, you made it out pretty well because remember?
I do, you think.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's some problems.
You know.
There are some problems. There are some problems. I'm actually quite shocked I didn't go into drugs and alcohol, but I think it's because my mother was so afraid. Like it took me 30 something years to find out she actually didn't go blind from this experience, but she told me from a very young age that she took a drug that had like sulfa in it for some kind of medication and it made her go blind for a year. I found out like 6 months ago that her eyes got puffy, like which is not the same thing. So my whole life I thought like, well, if I take a drug, like what if I go blind? Or like if I drink too much, maybe like something will happen
to me. I'm going
to
use that. Yeah. My daughter, 15.
You're just gonna lie to her.
I'm also gonna fall out.
And I was like, "Did you go blind?" She's like, "I just couldn't see." I'm like, "So your eyes got puffy for a year?" She's like, "Something like that." I'm like, "Those are two separate things. The things are not the same. The things are not alike."
But I think you know what, you came out pretty good because do you remember when we had Tori Spelling come on? Tori Spelling came on the show and she was telling us about like her rise to fame, and she said that she thought that the age where
that's
you
true.
Get famous is where your emotional
stop.
Growth stops because it's like so much for your body, like yourself, to process.
Could not agree with that.
Do you
more.
Think that as well? Yeah.
But 25 is a good year. Like, 20? I liked myself at 25. Yeah, yeah.
25 is good.
15 is a bit of a shit show.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know. I don't know if I could say your emotional growth stops. I'd say it's halted.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I definitely think for me, it was halted for like a good 5 years. Like, I had a very warped concept of reality after that show. Like, I was I felt very entitled. Mm. Like, I felt like, oh, I shouldn't have to pay to go to Disney. I should get comped tickets. Duh. Right. Like, I'm going to, you know, like, yeah. And I know, like, everyone feels that way after, like, a level of fame because right. so much stuff is given to you, right? Yeah. Now,
come on. Now you're like, I'm not Disney, but there's a few. Sometimes I'm like, wait, I have to pay for that?
There are some things, like, I will reach out, like, if I'm going to do something, like, go on a vacation, I'll see if I can reach out to the resort and be like, can I get, like, a discount or a couple nights comped or something, because I'm going to post about it when I'm there, so that's free marketing. I mean, that's marketing for you guys, so can I get, so I definitely will, but I do not expect it anymore. Like, if anything, like, I'm like, please, like,
please, you know, pick
like,
me.
please give me this. Like, and it's, so I definitely, I did expect it for a while, though. Right. Like, definitely the first 5 years, and then maybe even up to, like, you know, some 50-50 up until, like, 7, 8, 9 years. And now I'm, like, just so thankful if I get it.
Yeah.
Was it, like, becoming a mom that changed everything for you? Or, like, what do you think changed, like, your thought process with that especially? Kind of, like, the entitlement issue.
Not being famous anymore.
So what you're saying is if you were really famous right now, you'd be entitled.
Everybody
so
is.
Just by
every
luck.
Famous person feels entitled. Right. I mean, in some
true.
Way.
It's true.
It's just, and the only reason being is that life is about a series of transactions, right? Every relationship is a series of transactions. Mm-hmm. Like, why am I here right now? Okay, I get to be on your podcast. One, I'm out of my house. Woohoo, it's super fun.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I get to be in your podcast. Your listeners are here. I'm here telling my story. You get, like, there's always like a transaction.
Yeah, everyone gets something
like,
out of it.
You come over, we go for a walk together. We're getting exercise. We're getting social. Then we get happiness from being with each other. There's a transaction in everything, right? So when you have a certain level of fame, you know, these big celebrities, like, them by being somewhere, you're bringing press to a place, like, you should get to go there for free because, you would spend all this money on marketing anyway, and you're just giving it to them organically. So I think in a way, but then, you know, people listening is like, they shouldn't get that for free. Like, they're rich. They should have to pay for it. And I get it. Believe me, everybody. I totally get it.
But like, they get, like you're saying, they get, it costs them nothing. It really doesn't. A room doesn't cost them anything if it's available.
Yeah.
And they're getting marketing that sometimes I'm like, they pay you to promote their brand because it costs them a fraction of what it would cost to get that many eyeballs on that brand in any other way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's why they pay you to do it because, I mean, look at what they can get for what they would have to spend to get that and even an ad.
Yeah.
In any other way on whatever.
Yeah. So these celebrities who are like huge, they're like, oh, well, you want me to pay for a service when most companies or brands would pay me to do what you're asking me to pay you for. Do you see what I like?
Yeah.
So like these big celebrities, like, of course, they're all it's not their fault.
Right.
Yeah.
Like it's the nature
just
of the
be
business.
Nice. But like, you know, the moral is like still be nice while you're doing it.
Yeah.
That's why you're trying to get free shit.
Right. Right. Be grateful.
One of my girlfriends is arguably one of the biggest celebrities in TV. And she's one of the nicest people. Like it really is easy to be nice.
Yes.
Like,
did you hear that, Roxy?
Think I'm bitchy today, too?
Stop with your not saying no to me. Just be nice and say like it is.
There's a creative way to say it, you see.
Actually, have you guys watched, sorry, I know we got to get going here, but have you watched the documentary with Jonah Hill?
Yes,
his therapist.
It's amazing.
Oh, yes,
so
I watched
everybody
that.
Watch
oh,
it.
My gosh.
It is so good. You would love it.
I watched it, yeah.
Oh, you did watch
while
it. Do you love it?
Definitely needed therapy, yes. And I sent all the sections to my mom that I think she needed to hear and all the sections to my husband I thought he needed to hear.
Well, the best, my favorite thing I took away from it was the thing about closing your eyes and imagining a world full of love. I can't remember what it's called, but he said, close your eyes and imagine a world full of love. There's love all around you. You're sucking in the love. You're just like absorbing it all. It's coming into your heart and you're just like, your heart is swelling with like this incredible amount of love. Now think about, and again, I was kind of tired when I was watching this, so I don't remember the complete application, but the way I took it is that he's like, all right, now imagine this person. And I was thinking about a person like I've had like a little bit of an issue with or like having, not even an issue with, I've been having a hard time seeing the good in them, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've been like, wanting to talk badly about them or something. You know what I mean? I don't want to. I really, truly try not to talk bad about anyone behind their back because I think it's toxic. But So I, this person, I was like having these urges to like talk about them, yeah. and I didn't want to. And so I imagined all the love of, in the world sucked into my heart. And then he said to like, then imagine that you like embrace that person and you give all of that love to that person. You like become one with that person and you're giving the love to them. So like you both encompass this love. It was the, like I did it, I closed my eyes, it works. So that's kind of how I feel about life. Like be nice, be kind. If there's someone you're struggling with, like just imagine and try to have love for them and...
Wouldn't the world just be a better place, guys?
I mean, if that is not the best, you know, thought to walk away with. I agree. 100%. 100%.
Well, we're going to let you go, but we always do a tiny little game right at the end. Okay. And this is called the Rose Ceremony.
Wonder how we got that.
You have to give a rose to one of them.
Oh, okay. Gosh.
And it can be places, people. It doesn't have to just be, like, men.
You want to go first or you want me to go first?
Okay, you go first. Since I started the last one last time.
Okay, Facebook or Instagram?
Ooh.
Sorry, I got to go quick, huh? I'm going to give my...
Rapid fire.
It's a new game. Rapid fire.
I'm going to give my rose to Facebook only because of my Facebook group, which is the most amazing group of women ever.
Oh, that's a good one. The Bachelor or the Bachelorette?
The Bachelor's getting my rose.
Mm. Why?
Why is that?
Because I hated being the Bachelor and I loved being on the Bachelor.
You loved it?
I love being a contestant. You sat around, drank margaritas all day, hung out with your girlfriends, didn't have to work. Like, it was the best. It was like a three-month-long vacation, you know, with girlfriends. Whereas when you're the Bachelorette, you're going on all these dates with dudes you don't really like that much, having to make out with dudes you don't like that much. You're exhausted. You're getting no sleep. It's it was
from all the making out.
Right.
From all the making out. Like, I loved being on
Poor
Bachelor.
And they weren't just like, the girls weren't trying to tear each other down.
No, I mean, everyone was all friends. Oh. I mean, there was like one girl that I didn't get along with on my season. But like, no, we all hung out and had a good time.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Would you rather give a rose to sleep or sex?
To sleep.
I thought you would pick that.
Sleep.
I was like, she's going to choose sleep.
Oh, gosh. I have an aura ring, which like measures your sleep. Yeah. I legit sleep 9 to 10 hours a night.
That's
every
so
night.
Good.
So
how?
If he was Thank you to my husband who wakes up with the kids every morning.
So amazing. If he wanted to have sex, but you were like, it means I'm not going to sleep very much. You would say, I need to go to bed.
I mean... If I was like, you know, a couple drinks in and feeling ready, I would sacrifice the sleep. But if I was like tired and not in the mood, sleep.
Okay.
Roxy, you.
Don't touch me.
Tequila or pot?
Oh, tequila.
Oh, yeah, I don't smoke weed.
I love CBD, and especially CBD with THC, like a little bit of THC. I can't smoke weed, though. Like,
no,
that makes me very uncomfortable.
Same.
I mean, it's been years, like when I was like in college. But like with a little bit of THC, it's... I'm telling you, try it.
Do
little
you gummy, feel, gummy, huh? Because when I have smoked weed twice in my life, I hated it. Drove myself to the hospital.
I hated it too.
Literally drove myself to the hospital. I was like, I'm dead. I thought I was dead. It was horrible. And then I fell asleep. It was the worst. And then I ate a pizza. I was like, this is just so dumb. I was like, I hate this whole experience. Like, what?
But you like that pizza, I bet.
I mean, it was taste. I was like, because I couldn't feel my face, but like, I could feel my mouth. This was so weird. I hated it. I was like, called my mom. I was like, I think I'm dying. It's been like 5 hours, but it says it's been a minute. It was horrible. So this little bit of THC doesn't make you feel stoned.
It makes you, if you take a lot of it, like
just take one.
The one I take... one that has CBD with like trace amounts of THC. It's so little. Like it just, I've been posting about this. We've talked about this a little bit. I've been like on this like sober curious journey lately where I've really cut back on drinking alcohol, but I really crave at the end of the night
it's
that little
year,
bit of release, like that like tiny little buzz when you have a glass of wine that you're just like, ooh, I'm a little, like wine didn't make me drunk anymore because I drank too much wine, probably, but like it just kind of made me a little, you know, unless I had like a ton, but the trace amounts of THC, it gives me that little tiny buzz. Like, I don't feel out of control. Like, if something was going on with my kids, I could bring them.
But
to,
do you feel like yourself? Because weed does not make me feel like myself.
Neither. Me either. Yeah. It's completely different.
Okay. Right. Because you did, Tamin, these are, it's like designer weed now. Or like designer.
She's like trying, she's like my drug pusher.
THC.
Well, the thing is, it's not even like the, can I say what I take? I take Focal. Full disclosure, I have like a 3% stake equity in the company.
You're such a good person. You're like, by the way, I do have a 3%.
I would just be like,
just want to be a
I wouldn't say any of that stuff. I'm super shady.
The thing is, going back to the influencer thing, I chose that over getting paid because I believe in the company so much and I believe that it's going to do big things and it's helped me so much that I'm like, I want to help other people and I'd rather like really build this brand and make it something than just take a paycheck because I believe in it so much. But anyway, it's legal. Like it's not like,
it's
THC,
like weed isn't legal in Tennessee, but these are like, they ship here. Like it's legal to come here. So it's not, It's not like weed. Drug. It's not okay. like where you take a drag of
Will it
a
make
joint.
Me blind?
Wait.
What?
Will it make me blind?
No.
Just puffy eyes, right?
Just puffy eyes. I'll be able to say.
Allie, I don't know what happened. I took your CBD. I got puffy eyes.
Nice, I'll take a selfie.
Well, on that note, we should probably let you go. On puffy eyes. Well, so can you tell everyone where they? I know that everyone already knows where they can find you, but anything else, and mm-hmm. also your company.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Well, one, if anybody wants to try the CBD, use 20 Ally ALI, and you can get 20% off that. So that would actually be nice if anybody wants to try that. And it's awesome. Ally.mano on Instagram. Mm-hmm. Come find me. I will be crying sometimes, showing my happy life sometimes.
You also show your stomach. Sometimes. I was like, you showed your stomach the other day. I was like, I
know. You
I
probably have
do
like
that.
The perfect stomach, though.
No, but she sits down and she shows it, and I'm like, I'm not there yet. But maybe it's because I'm also an actor. I'm kind of like
but
not supposed to show
all like
of
that,
it.
Sometimes I'm like, are people thinking that I'm just posting this for likes? Like, I overthink everything I post. Like, I'm worried all the time that, like, I don't want anyone to think other than, like, what's in my heart. And nobody knows what's in your heart, so they're not going to know, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
But, yeah. And then my hydration company, it's 1-3 Life. Yeah. It's actually, we are fulfillment centers here in Nashville, and we employ women survivors of domestic abuse, like sex trafficking, refugees. There's been refugees from Ukraine, Afghanistan. So it's pretty cool that where our product is fulfilled, they employ women like that. So I think that's pretty awesome. So it's a hydration company. It's like, you know, the little packets that you put into your water. It's got less sugar, less calories, less sodium than the other guys. And it tastes really yummy.
And it gives you
I should have brought you guys some.
Yeah.
I know, because I've used other brands before and they're actually too sweet for me.
Ours is very mild.
Yeah.
I'll get you some.
Yeah.
I'll get you some.
I don't want to get free stuff.
We need to get you on the CBD too, girl.
I know, I will. All the things. Yeah, I take Gatlite anyway. I take so many things. So many
supplements. Well, my hydration company too, the whole site's 50% off right now. It's a really long story, and we're losing money selling the product, but we have to sell through it. And this is being a small business owner that's like, I hate owning a small business, by the way. It's super stressful. We talked about this, your clothing line.
It's your least favorite thing. Mm-hmm. Not hate.
Oh, yeah. It's my least favorite.
Least favorite.
It's my least favorite.
But it'll grow.
But long story. But we like didn't put a declumping agent in our thing. So sometimes it sticks together. But it's the cleanest. That's why we didn't do it. So now we're selling it discounted. So if you want to get some, go get some, because it's a really good deal.
Well, thank you so much for being here. I'm so I've wanted this to happen for so, you know, I've been bugging you to be on the podcast for so long. So
and text
you guys
me anytime. We didn't talk about this on the podcast, but right before we started the podcast, you said that you don't text me because you think you're annoyed, like sending
too many
texts.
Only 3 times in the last like week have I thought of something that you would like.
Then send
just
it to
like
me.
I was like, "Oh, this is funny."
No, and the thing is, I love last minute hangs too. Like I'm really bad at like.
It's almost better to do it that way to have a last minute hang. You know,
I'm like worse at scheduling things out. Like I'm all about last minute hangs. Like I would like let's hang.
Yeah,
yeah. Because if I'm near my period, I don't want to see anyone. Yeah,
you never want to see anyone anyway, Tamin.
That's not true. I see Allie.
You
just don't want to see you.
You.
No, I do.
You do. You do.
I do. Okay, guys, we're gonna get out of your hair. You can find us on Women on Top Official on Instagram
and Women on Top Podcast on Facebook.
And I am Tamin Sursok.
And I am Roxy Manning.
And we are Women on Top.